My name is Adam Welch. I've been bartending for over 10 years in the heart of the Napa Valley, always sourcing the most local, sustainable ingredients.
My name's James. I just like to drink.
Adam.
James.
Bar stories.
What'd you say?
Bar stories.
I thought you said something else.
Do it again.
All right, everybody, welcome to episode 16 of Bar Stories. Holy shit, today's episode is brought to you by The Parish Cafe. You can find them at theparishcafe.com. And in studio today is Casey Drady.
Hello, everybody.
We are minus Adam.
Adam is in Ireland.
What's he doing in Ireland?
He is looking for his birth parents, which is weird because they live in Sonoma.
Yeah, it's weird because I follow him on Instagram, yeah. As you do too, I'm assuming. He looks like he belongs there.
Yeah, he looks like if Ireland had a Gap model, it'd be Adam.
I saw the photos of him. Like, he totally probably come up and start speaking Ireland to him, don't
speaking,
they?
Speaking Ireland.
Is that what they speak over there?
Sure.
You ever been to Ireland?
I have.
You've been to Ireland?
Yeah.
So I noticed that he was drinking a Guinness, and he says it does taste better. I think you even commented.
I told him. I said, even if you don't like it, you got to have it over there. It is a complete different flavor.
What happens to a Guinness when it comes over here?
From what I understand, it gets brewed over here.
Really?
Yeah.
And then it gets better as we ship it over there?
No. They make it over there.
Okay.
But we also make it over here. So when you're getting it over there, you're getting the...
Oh, so we're not really getting Ireland made in bullshit.
Maybe somebody lied to me, but I've been believing that for years, and you can taste the difference.
I didn't even know that. I was always wondering why, because I have heard that before. But anyways, but we're going to flip the script on the show, everybody. And Casey Drady came up with a great idea. We were like, well, we talked about it. We were like, should we have a guest? We're going to do this. I mean, it's a different format without Adam. So then you came up. What was your idea?
We're going with when the teacher's gone, you get the substitute who's a little hungover, just wants his paycheck, doesn't really want to be there. We're having a movie day.
Oh.
And we're going to recap.
Here it is.
The one, the only cocktail.
Yes. But how was a bartender going to get his hands on any of it?
This is the big time. Are you ready for the big time, young Mr. Flanagan?
I think I can handle it.
This isn't what I ordered!
Angel
Tip! Get your act together!
White wine!
All right! Now, what was it that you ordered?
Okay, I'm going to stop right there. I'm assuming this is the movie. First of all, if you haven't seen the movie Cocktail, this might bore the shit out of you, but I'm assuming most people have seen it. It's a classic. If you haven't seen it, stop the podcast. Go to your nearest Blockbuster.
Rent
Cocktail get it down.
If Blockbuster isn't open, Hollywood Video, I'm sure, is still around.
You know, I remember Hollywood Video. They were the ones that would do the what was the version that wasn't X-rated, but it wasn't R?
NC-17.
Yes. And they were the one that would do the NC-17. And I was like, there was the one movie. What was it when we were kids? It was called Kids.
Have you watched that recently? Leave it in the memory.
Yeah, because when you were a kid, you were like, this is fucking NC-17, bro. And it was like...
I was like, I'm never going to Brooklyn.
I feel like I just watched kids ride around in taxis, and then finally someone got raped at the end. Yeah. When
everybody had it coming in that movie. Just bad people just all the way around.
All around. All right, let's get the movie Cocktail. It came out in 1988. I thought it was an earlier movie than that.
I started getting worried that maybe it was in a later movie than that. I imagine it being 80s, but then all of a sudden I was like, is it 90s?
It was close on the cusp. Okay. You know, it's like, and it's starring Tom Cruise, starring Brian Brown and Elizabeth Shue.
The lovely Elizabeth Shue.
You know what's funny about Elizabeth Shue? She was like in every one of the greatest movies ever growing up.
Yep.
She was always like, she was in Karate Kids where I fell in love with Elizabeth Shue. I don't know where you fell in love with her, but I fell in love with her at Karate Kid days.
I gotta be honest, it was Cocktail for me.
Really?
Yeah.
So, what did you see first? Cocktail?
Oh, no. I saw Karate Kid
first. Course, I was in first grade when that came out.
Now, she's in Adventures in Babysitting, too, right?
She was in Adventures in Babysitting.
So, that one's a good...
I don't know where she went after that.
Dancing with the Stars.
You know what's funny? I always remember that Karate Kid came out when I was in the first grade. Uh-huh. I'm going to lay some real shit in here. It gets a little gay, but I'm laying in there. Because I love the movie Karate Kid. I was like, I love the movie Karate Kid. I'm in the first grade. I was taking karate.
Sure.
I got into karate because I saw Karate Kid like every other kid in the 80s. And then we were having like a book fair where you could buy shit. And there was a bookmark. Remember we used to buy bookmarks? Mm-hmm.
For like $4. Yeah. More expensive than the book.
And it said, I love the Karate Kid. And it had, had Pete, what's his name, come on. Everyone's screaming at us in their podcast.
Fucking...
You know.
Mr. Miyagi?
No, the kid. Daniel's son. He's got a picture of Daniel's son. And it said, I love the Karate Kid. And I totally bought it. I'm like, I love the Karate Kid.
Yeah,
and
then this is for me.
And then I didn't realize that everyone's like, are you gay? I'm all, oh, and I had to throw it away. But I love the bookmark,
That
though.
Would have been a perfect time to use your karate.
I know. Like, I wasn't very good.
How dare
I was
you?
Only white belt where you get to hold your hands at the
they
side.
They give you that.
And you get this horse stance. I don't know what that move was. I think karate is such a bullshit thing. It gives you like a false sense that you actually can fight.
I don't know who. I was some comedian said it works if
you're fighting. Oh, the movie Bullshit.
Yes. If you're fighting somebody who's doing karate, you're good. Otherwise, who gives a shit?
They're going to beat your ass.
Yes,
yeah.
Every time.
Okay, you brought in some concoctions. We're getting the cocktail, everybody. Hang on to your cocktail cocks.
Yes.
So what did you bring in? Because I'm scared. I see beer, I see red shit, and I see fucking eggs.
We're doing the red eye from cocktail.
Okay, what scene was the red eye in?
It starts out...
Wait, is it when they're in the apartment?
Well, that's in there. Yeah, yeah. That's okay. when he's making
the point. You won't have a red eye.
There you go.
Coggins Law. That's when they come up. Now, we're jumping ahead, but I know that's when they come up with, and he's like, cocktails and dreams. I see it.
That's when that happens. But I think this drink is when he goes in and says, I want to work here. And he says, do you know how to make a red eye?
Oh, okay. Is that when he says, I'll take a beer? And he's like, beer is for breakfast.
Yes. And then, Tom Cruise chokes down a shot of whiskey, and it's the worst. You can tell he cannot stand it.
Okay. So let's make this red eye, because I know we're on a tight ship today.
We are.
We got lots to get to. It's like too much. Okay, so right. Casey's handing me a beer. I'm handing me a house beer.
Yep, house beer. Venice Beach, California.
I'm going to open my beer. He's got this red concoction he's swirling around.
So I kind of cheat a little bit. I went and put vodka and tomato
juice.
This
glass is kind of clean. My whole life's a mess.
Clean enough.
Good God.
So we got tomato juice and vodka.
Okay,
so
that's pure tomato juice I'm looking at right here.
That's pure tomato juice mixed with vodka.
Okay, so it's vodka. How much do I put in? Just like a good healthy amount here?
Yeah,
half glass? Okay.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, let's just go ahead and top that off.
Okay. Oh.
We got them all, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to fill up some more here. The only part that's... Everything I'm cool with. Vodka, tomato juice,
yeah, and then we got beer. We got a raw egg.
I've never had raw egg before.
You've had egg whites, though.
I mean... Yeah, after it was cooked and stuff. Okay, so I take the egg.
We put egg whites in your drink.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Trying to kill me? Okay, yeah, so maybe. We crack our eggs, crack our pour egg. It in.
There we go. Now we don't... Oh, here we go. I even brought something for the eggshell. Look at that.
God damn, I was wondering what that was for, actually. Yeah, I'd like to point out that Casey cracked his egg with one hand, and I used two. And I got egg shit all over my hands.
Look at this. Clean as a whistle.
Look at you. I look like I got cum on. Uh-huh. I look like I was in a buka. What do they call those?
The bukkake.
Bukkake video.
I've heard. I don't know.
Okay, yeah. All right, so the eggs at the bottom. We're pouring in the house beer. I feel like I put in too much.
Well, you know.
Okay, because you got more beer than me. Do we swirl it around or anything?
You know, from the movie, he just pounded it.
You drink the whole thing?
No, God, no. We just start drinking.
Though. Okay, guys. Really scared. All right, cheers.
Here, here's to Adam. Hope you're having fun.
Yeah, all right. A red eye. Here we go. It's good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I like it.
Yeah, well,
I mean, a little scared at the bottom.
Right, so we haven't made it to the treat on the bottom.
I don't know if you're supposed to eat raw eggs. Is there a thing about getting salmonella or anything?
It's not a doctor show.
It's not a doctor show.
No, don't worry about it.
We might kill ourselves for you people.
Yeah, it's not a doctor show.
That's fucking total, that's awesome. Yeah. All right, so the movie Cocktail starts off with him, you know, and I want to get down to the theory of this movie because there was a rash of 80s yuppie movement going on. Movies, yes. it was like a yuppie movement. I remember Secret to My Success with Michael J. Fox. There was Cocktail. There was a bunch of Wall Street came out during that time.
Yeah.
And it was like this time where everyone was like trying to make it. Mm-hmm. It was like a bunch of little Donald Trumps running around.
Yeah, everybody was going to New York to make it, or Chicago, depending on which movie you're watching.
Yeah, totally. And they're all going to these big cities, but they're always like failing. Yep. Or like Michael J. Fox, he's fucking his aunt. And weird things are happening. So this movie starts with young Brian Flanagan looking around for work. He can't get there.
Right. Well, it starts with him pulling over a Greyhound bus somehow.
Wait, he pulled over the Greyhound bus?
Yeah, he's leaving from the armed forces of some unnamed war.
Wait. So he's getting out of war?
They pull up in a car, pull over a Greyhound bus. He gets out. All the guys are in military attire.
Right.
Jumps on the bus, goes to his uncle's place in Queens.
Okay.
And then we start.
And then what happens in that first scene? Talk about that first scene. Because it's Uncle's bar. He's like,
yeah, it's his Uncle Pat. He goes sees his Uncle Pat. He says, you know, I'm here to make my money, blah, 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 blah. His Uncle Pat starts dropping some bar knowledge on him, tells him, you don't ever give a drink away. You got, you know, all this stuff. He decides he's going to go be in the city. That's where he needs to be.
Because he didn't want to work at his uncle's place because that would be too easy for him. He had to go to the one place where to get a job, and that was TGI Fridays.
Pretty much, yeah.
So he knocks on this door. He sees he sees Brian playing the actor Doug, the character Doug. And I don't know, did you notice that it was a TGI Fridays?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's not pointed out very well. You think it's just like New York bar?
Yeah, a saloon.
Yeah, you're thinking.
They keep referring to it as a saloon. Yeah, so he shows up after getting turned down from absolutely everybody.
The bar's closed, son.
And he walks in, he says, I need a job. And what's his name? Douglas?
Doug. I don't know, what was Doug's last name?
It was whatever the law is.
Cognan's Law?
Coughlin, yeah.
Douglas
Coughlin.
He was talking about himself the whole time?
The whole time. The guy sucks.
What a fucking egomaniac. Yeah. I didn't realize that was his last name. Cognan's Law.
Yeah.
Beer is for breakfast.
So he tells him, all right, for whatever reason, he's like, yeah, I'll give you a shot on Saturday night when it's packed.
Now, going back to your experience being a bartender, was that what it was like your first time bartending? How much did you relate to this character?
Almost none. Yeah. No, I got my ass handed to me, but not...
But don't they train you a little bit? They don't just throw you into the fire Saturday night and everyone asks for sex on a beach. I wanted a white wine.
Well, and no other bartender is going to let you. I mean, I guess we.
Here's that scene right here. Here it is.
A martini. What's in that?
There are many ways to fool a customer. You will learn them all.
Yes, Obi-Wan.
You get the women, you get the bucks. And you can see the color of their panties and you know you got talent.
Is that how you met your wife? The color of her panties?
That's right, yeah.
So another aspect of this movie, so obviously he starts bartending, he starts getting a little better. This guy, Doug, is fucking obnoxious the whole movie.
Yeah,
you like him, he's the character you love to hate.
Well, he says a lot of weird shit. He says a thing about knowing the color of their panties. He says that at one point, young Brian says the waitresses hate him, and then old Douglas, presumably their boss, says, wait till you give him crabs, and they really fucking hate you. So he's a weird... He's a weird dude.
I've got some local breaking beer news.
Okay.
A nearly naked man suspected in beer truck heist in Santa Rosa just broke right now on my phone. I don't have any information on it, but stand by for that as information comes in. I just thought we'd break it to you first.
That's right. Oh, always come to Bar Stories for your news.
But now there's an aspect of this movie, how fast he masters the flair bartending.
That cracks me up. So he starts chucking bottles around.
Like...
Damn near killing a couple people. And then next thing you know, like, I don't know, he finishes that one night, he wrings out his sock, which is disgusting. I'm not even sure why that's in there. Waitress give him a little bit of cash, and then Coughlin says, oh, I got five shifts for you. I mean, because why not? You
know, five shifts open.
Yeah, he failed miserably. Have five of our busiest shifts. Ends up being, 3 days later, a pro bartender chucking bottles.
And then they're just tearing the TGI Fridays up, right?
Oh, yeah. That's the place to be.
I mean, here's some more sample of that sound. Here you go.
Stick with me, son. I'll make you a star.
I want you guys working for me.
This is a real...
So that's a guy. He's like, he sees him at the TGI Fridays, and he's like, I want you guys working for me. I love what you're doing with the TGI Fridays. You got to come to my big place.
Because he owns the best saloon. Everybody keeps calling saloons. Like, he owns the best saloon. They are in downtown fucking New York City. And everybody's got a saloon.
So you fast forward, they're becoming fast friends a little too fast.
But hang on.
Hold
on. While this is going on, Brian's in business school.
Oh, that's the, so because this is the yuppie part of it.
And this is the whole reason he's doing what he's doing. He wants to make essentially a fucking Applebee's. Is his dream project is to bring the neighborhood bar to malls across the nation.
I learned a small secret about you on the last episode that you used to work for the Applebee's.
Oh, everybody's got skeletons.
And Adam did. Everyone at the table, except for me. I never worked. Hey. I worked at Taco Bell. I'm a Taco Bell
there
man.
There you go. Hey, when you're
twice.
When you're 16, when you're 16, they're handing out jobs that pay tips.
You know what? I couldn't even get a job at Applebee's if I tried back then. I applied everywhere. I was turned down by Long John Silver's. Like, no one wanted anything to do with me.
Yeah.
I could never make it as a waiter or anything. They were like, no.
Yep.
I was a telemarketer, pizza delivery driver, and that's all I could be in my life. So
there you go.
Anyways, so our young Brian Flanagan is, like, always trying to get the secret to success.
Right.
Always, like, trying to get ahead any way he can. Everything's an angle for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they flash forward to them, the next, they got their big raise, and they're dressed like prisoners.
They're at a bar called Cell Block. Oh, excuse me, a saloon.
And then the worst part of this movie is like
the poetry.
Okay, yes.
Okay, so
I'm gonna play a little the poetry here. So they're at this slamming bar. chanting. They fucking love him.
Meanwhile, there are two bartenders surrounded by about 20,000 people.
Yeah, could you honestly help all those people?
I mean, I can, but I'm not an actor. Okay, I'm a professional.
Okay, and this is the best part. He does this fucking, the lamest, where did the poetry aspect come into?
So this is his rebuttal to that guy who walks in with a briefcase and does his poem.
Here we go. This is the poetry.
And at this point, nobody wants a drink, apparently.
Fabulous cocktails I make. America's getting stinking on something I stir or shake. The sex on the beach. The schnapps made from peach. The velvet hammer. The Alabama slammer. I make things with juice and froth. The pink squirrel. The three-toed sloth.
Do you know what all these drinks are?
I make sadly, yes.
Sweet and snazzy. The iced tea, the kamikaze.
It's such a stretch on a rhyme right there.
The orgasm.
Okay, we know where this goes.
Yeah, it gets worse.
It gets worse. He's not a good poet. So I love that they're mixing like success, this awful poetry.
Well, where's the poetry come in? Because it starts out, they're in this giant cell block saloon. Some dude shows up with a briefcase. Everybody immediately recognizes him, starts chanting poem, which, sure. He gets up there, says some poem about God knows what. They get annoyed that nobody's paying attention to the bar because poetry's way more interesting than drinking. And then we get to this poem.
And let's be honest, poetry is fucking lame.
I mean,
come on, let's get in. I mean, it was good in high school. We all got laid with it.
Fair. Okay. As long as we can all admit that, then yes.
You guys want to come over and hear some poetry I wrote? The whole thing was me trying to get my penis into your vagina. Not your vagina, Casey, but I love the person's vagina, but that was the whole goal.
Let me ask you, you're a couple years older than myself. Was poetry big in 88? Was that a thing that I'm missing?
I think poetry is always big when you're in high school. When you have all those feelings that you don't understand, but you're trying to be deep.
Sure.
Like, there's nothing worse than a high school, poetry.
You know what fixes poetry? Alcohol.
Alcohol, yeah. We're adults.
Yes.
We're adults.
Right.
We don't need poetry. I mean, they'll be listening right now. I'm like, I love poetry. Well, yeah. Yeah, I like Bukowski, too. Brokowski. He's a good poet.
Fair enough.
Because he's like a drunk.
I'm a Shel Silverstein guy myself. Did I say shelf?
Shel
Silverstein.
He did the Light in the Attic and the Sidewalk
Ends.
Never Ends.
Something like that.
And his name was Shel Silverstein.
Yep.
He was like a really tall black guy, right? I remember the picture on the back.
No, he was a tall white dude, wasn't he?
No.
With a beard?
Wasn't he a black guy?
I don't know. It was a black and white photo.
It was black and white. Maybe it was like shaded. I don't know. I always thought he was a gigantic, tall black guy.
Let's go with your theory.
I don't know. Yeah. What do I know? Boy, we've just ruined the facts. Okay. So then the whole movie. Check. So now this is the scene where they're in their prisoner outfit. They're doing their flair bartending. And then they find there's this photographer that starts taking their picture.
And this is kind of where the relationship starts to end between, what's his name? I always get his name, Coughlin?
Well, his name is Doug. Yeah, Doug in the movie. Brian's his name in
real
life.
For those of you who haven't seen, which if you haven't seen this, I'm not really sure why you're into this podcast.
No, you got to be into now.
But Coughlin is very egotistical. He takes Flanagan under his wing and he needs all the credit.
You feel like he owns him a little bit. He thinks Brian's his little bitch.
Yeah, everything he wants credit. Now, Flanagan's the young, hot sex appeal. The other guy's the creepy guy who wants to give people crabs and see their panties. Then we get this photographer who takes a liking to young Flanagan.
Yes, I know. Here we go.
The death spasm.
He's still doing his poetry.
The Singapore sling, the ding-a-ling.
The ding-a-ling.
America, you're just devoted to every flavor I've got. But if you want to get loaded, why don't you just order a shot?
That's kind of like your role. You're kind of an order shot guy. And anyways, she wants to take their picture. And then he thinks he's going to get famous. So at this point, he's like this celebrity bartender. And this is like all happened about a week of the movie.
Yeah.
It's been
maybe,
1 week.
Maybe, yeah. And this is before, I was probably, I don't know, 5 when this came out. But
yeah.
Celebrity bartending wasn't a thing. Like now, you're a celebrity bartender, I guess.
Are there celebrity bartenders now that you know of? Adam always talks about people. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. He's like, no, bro, you don't understand. That's my good Adam. That's
really good. Like, I thought he was here for a second. Yeah. I turned around. I was like, holy shit.
But I don't know any celebrity bar. I know there's celebrity chefs.
Same thing. There's a couple bartenders who are, they know their shit. Whatever.
Is there any flair bartending around here? Have you ever done flair bartending?
More than a joke? Absolutely not. I feel like I have done it as a joke many times.
Breaking bottles everywhere. There's popping bottles and there's breaking bottles. I definitely learning how to flair bartending.
Flung bottles around and made a fool out of myself just for the sake of doing it.
So then they get into it. He starts banging this photography chick. They fall in love. And then fucking Brian or Doug's like, or Coughlin. I can't call him Coughlin. It doesn't sound like a name.
That's his name. Is that a name? That's his last name.
Brian Coughlin? Coughlin. Coughlin's Law. He makes him a bet saying that that photographer chick is going to screw him over. He's like, I take that bet.
And before that,
she loves me.
Right. He has her over at the house, and he's like, you know, she's going to be banging somebody else by the end of the week. Fast forward, they're at Cell Block again.
It's a $50 bet,
which
right?
in 1988 is like $57, so that's a lot of money.
It's a $50 bar bet.
How are you making out with that little blonde chippy?
Oh, that's a different scene. Oh, yeah.
So Coughlin goes over, makes a move, basically tells this chick, this guy's talking about banging you, telling all your secrets. Then he makes out with her. They get in a fight. Flanagan quits the bar, moves to Jamaica.
No, you're missing this whole scene here.
What'd I miss?
So, like, they're just working the bar. She just starts kissing him.
Right.
And then he's like, what the fuck? And he's like, I told you she'd be banging somebody by the end of the week. And then he breaks a bottle.
Right.
And he's like, I won't have any fighting in this bar. And that's when he leaves. They almost fight. Did they fight?
And no, he says there's no fighting here, and that includes the staff. And he says, well, I don't work here.
Oh, now shit. He always had this little dream of going to Jamaica and being like a little tourist bartender. Right,
because they wanted to be partners.
Right.
So they were going to go do the summer seasons in Jamaica, back in New York, so on and so forth, and make some money.
And do you remember the name of the restaurant or the bar they want to call it?
Cocktails
and Dreams.
Oh, yeah, because that was the Coughlin. Hang on, stay with me.
Come on now.
It was his diet. Was it diet? I have something in there. Coughlin's diet was Cocktails and Dreams.
Oh, I just thought it was just the dumbest idea for a bar in the world. And he's like, it'll be in pink neon lights. I'm all, holy shit, can you get any more 80s than that? For sure.
So then we are in Jamaica. Presumably time has passed, I would guess, a week or two by the looks of people. Flanagan is doing his thing. That's at the end. You are so far ahead. Spoiler alert.
Here it is. No. That's when they're tearing it up. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Listen, I'll paint the picture with my words.
Paint the picture with words. So they're in Jamaica.
So they're in Jamaica. Flanagan's doing his thing, making every blended drink imaginable, having a good time. Then Miss Elizabeth Shue shows up.
Elizabeth Shue.
And she comes running up to the bar. And she says, do you have a phone? My friend passed out. Flanagan, having absolutely no medical knowledge that we are aware of, jumps over the bar, runs to the beach where she has left her friend in Jamaica, passed out, to get a bartender. He comes to the conclusion that she'll be okay.
She'll be okay.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, and my favorite line of that part is he's all champagne. Oh, perfume coming in.
Sewage coming out.
I'm like, perfume going in? Yes. What is he talking about?
So then they get her friend loaded up. And then Elizabeth Shue just says, you know what? Peace out. I'm going to hang out with the bartender on my whole trip to Jamaica. Yeah,
whatever happened to the friend who went to the hospital?
I don't know. But I know the ambulance driver said, Flanagan, I got to go, man.
I got to go. Flanagan, I feel like that was like a normal thing that he was always dragging his customers like out of there or something.
So then?
Huh?
Who shows up at the bar one night?
Oh, here it is, right here.
How are you making out with that little blonde chippy?
Oh, my dear God.
Mm-hmm. How come I've always got the chippies?
Douglas Coughlin.
Princess. Well, that's a question only you can answer. This man's phenomenal. Put him in a room full of women, and he goes to the poorest and the dumbest every single time.
Oh,
the man's astounding. His wife parades half naked on the beach, and he thinks she's just there for the
summer. So, yes.
The reason Coughlin's in Jamaica is he's on a honeymoon. He has found his rich girl to fall in love with. So now he has officially got what he's been bragging that he was going to get this whole time.
You know the weird part of this movie is always the men trying to hook up with the rich women. It's kind of like a role reversal on how things sometimes are in movies. Sure. You know, the stereotype is like, you know, the hot chicks trying to find the older.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are like always trying to scam the rich chicks.
And his wife is this hot little 20 something. Yeah. He's got to be in his 40s.
Oh, yeah.
And rough 40.
Pocahontas. And what does he have to offer?
Nothing.
No money. No. But she's totally rich.
Yeah. I think he's the piss off her dad
Yeah.
guy. So now he's bragging that Flanagan cannot seal the deal and be a hustler like him. Mm-hmm. He's going to go after this Elizabeth Shue, which, I mean, it's Elizabeth Shue.
It's Elizabeth Shue. So they were hanging out, falling in love.
Right. Now,
like, real fast, by the way. Like,
again, afternoon, maybe.
Yeah, there's like, a lot of love talk going on real quick. So here's the bet that he's going to make for him that ruins it for Elizabeth Shue.
My wife does not need other men.
You know what they say about sexual vanity in men over 40? It's a first sign of senility.
Please try to keep your envy in check.
That was a pause for a laugh envy. That never came. Yeah.
He's my protege. I taught him all I know.
Together with a token might get me on a subway.
You can only take a guy so far. Then
where is he supposed to be from, by the way, with that accent?
Well, he keeps bragging that he's Irish. His family's from Queens. And again, came from some war somewhere.
No, not Tom Cruise.
Oh, the other guy.
But the guy playing Brown.
He's going to be an Aussie, right?
I couldn't tell. I feel like his accent's fake. I just feel like it's gone. Like, is it English? Is it what?
He just came from Dudley Moore's voiceover.
Yeah, where is he from?
The question of biology. Biology is destiny.
Ah, the old philosopher.
You see, there are two kinds of people in this world.
I don't know. I'm hearing an Outback ad.
The hustlers never work.
He is Aussie. Yeah.
It's got to be.
You, my friend, are a worker. God knows I've tried to beat that instinct out of him, but it's there ingrained in your immigrant blood. Look how tasty your cocktails are. Look how clean you keep your bar.
And he takes offense
to
this.
My man, you actually take pride in your work.
Pride in your work?
I do not.
What fucking answer is that? Hey, you obviously like what you do. Yeah, I do not.
Yeah, he is so embarrassed that he is so dead set that he's not going to be a bartender for life. That he takes offense to, hey, you're good at your job. Bar. Fuck you.
The best.
Yeah.
See, yeah, the best.
Listen, Bozo, if you think I'm stuck in this gig.
Face it, you're a career proletarian. You've been standing in a puddle so long, you've got web feet.
Woo! Damn.
Got him.
Just because he gets lucky with a rich chick.
Lucky, says. Well, you couldn't do it. I've known this man for 3 years, and believe me, he's not a closer. This place is crawling with moneyed females. Case in point.
Okay, so then he looks over. Rich chick sitting down.
At a woman who looks like the white equivalent of Tony Montana's sister from Scarface. She's got the hair, the dress, hair. Everything.
She looks like that old lady that died at Studio 54 again, kind of. Like the younger version of that. Did that lady really kill that movie at the end?
She kind
of
brought it down.
She took like the whole studio down when she died. I'm just saying.
Kind of a metaphor for that, right?
I know, right? Mm-hmm. Death is a good metaphor for the end of things. So deep. Well, how they do it.
Here we go. Get off.
All right. So now it's a $50 bet. Same bet he made that the other driver chick. That he can't even get over the bar. It's a bet. Now, let's keep the listeners in mind. He's been tromping around with Elizabeth Shue. Mm-hmm. Making some sweet love
for some time now.
Yeah, and she bailed on her drunk ass friend. We still ago. We still don't know.
No idea what happened.
She could have died.
Most likely did. Jamaica was never a safe place.
We could redo this movie where like she dies or something.
Okay. That dark secret that we talked
about. So, anyways, he walks over to this. She's easy as all can be. She's there to get laid.
Yeah, and keep in mind she's by herself.
Ooh, she's gonna have a vodka on the rocks.
Please try a jus d'amour.
He's doing his flair bar.
Jus d'amour means.
Jus d'amour. Bit on the nose there.
Heyo.
Trust me when I tell you that it is nothing short.
God, I don't know. If I order a drink, the bartender's like, no. Try this. I'm like, no, fuck you. Give me the drink.
She literally walked up and wanted a vodka tonic. He's like, no, I'm going to give you this fucking fruit bowl. I'd be like, okay, cool. I'm not paying for this.
Right, yeah. I didn't ask for this,
so I'm assuming this is free.
Right.
Anyways.
I didn't ask for this only white guy in Jamaica.
Excuse me, do I have fuck me written on my forehead?
Oh, she kind of does a little bit.
I can't see a thing without my contacts.
Oh, that was good.
I didn't quite get the joke.
He was trying to say that he can't see if she has fuck me on the forehead. can we take
without my contact? That's a fucking lame line.
Listen, we're not talking about the writers of the movie. We're just,
what was that?
Can we take a shot at what her age is on this?
I mean, I think she's supposed to be late 40s, early 50s.
And he's what?
He's probably supposed to be in his early 20s.
Okay. All right.
Anyways, they end up hooking up, right? So the whole scene ends them leaving. And who walks up and sees them walking out together?
Elizabeth Shue. I wouldn't do it to her. breaks, Elizabeth Shue, if you're listening, I would have treated you better.
Breaks her heart.
Mm-hmm.
So what does she do?
She leaves the island.
But
then her friend shows up.
Yeah, he knocks on the door, and then the friend is there.
Her friend's like, oh, sorry, she left.
She left, and I'm still here.
I'm still stuck on the goddamn island. Yep.
And that's weird, because like they've only been dating a couple days. So he then leaves. He ends up becoming her boy toy. And
the rich chick, the one that they were hitting on.
Yeah,
he flies home with her.
And they're in New York, right? It's all based in New York, right? So they fly. He thinks this is his big moment.
Right, and he's literally a fuck boy for her. That's all he...
Just a fuck boy. But he's like, I need to get to see the head of marketing. She's like, oh, honey, we'll get you into the head of marketing. No problem, no problem. Anyways.
Then, let's see here. He's living with her. She's ignoring him. Oh, then they go to a party.
They go to a party where she completely disses him and says, hold my coat. And then that's when he makes the realization that I'm just a little fuckboy.
Right. And then he gets inside.
Where the fuck was his brain in the beginning? Where was his brain in the beginning? Because he was definitely not.
And he does make a swing by. When they get back, he takes a walk through town. He goes by Elizabeth Shue's diner.
I remember that.
Totally a weird part of the movie, but for whatever reason, it sticks out. He's wearing a suit because he's a rich guy now. But he's got his suit with a tie and then a white t-shirt underneath it. And it's just tacky.
It's not good.
I'm sorry. It took me out of the movie.
I thought he left her and then he saw where she was.
No, that morning she says, go pick up your suit. And then he walks by and looks at Caesar and doesn't stop.
Great. That's later after. Right. So then he makes a realization after the party that he's just being a fuckboy.
He gets in a fight.
He's like, what am I just to you? And she's like, I love you or something. I don't remember. He leaves her. Then he goes, and I think he goes to the diner then.
He does. He goes over there. He says hi. Elizabeth Shue, not very happy to see him.
Not happy. And then we find out later why she's not happy to see him.
She's moody.
Spoiler alert. She's moody and she's not drinking.
Right.
Moody and not drinking.
Mm-hmm. Because she has a baby in her. But we'll get to that.
We're going to get to that. So then he tries to order something. Oh, and then she's like, what do you want? And he's like, I just want to talk to you. And then
she brings out the specials.
Mm-hmm. She pours spaghetti.
No, it was on his, it was,
on his head.
And then some chicken things.
Some soup in his lap. And then he's like, I want to order the specials. And that's kind of how that scene ends.
And then, he ends up back at her house somehow?
Nah, he goes over and he visits his buddy Doug on the boat, right?
No, isn't that scene? That's far down the road.
Oh.
But he goes back to her house. Oh, he's sitting outside and he kind of picks up on her. She takes him home, then basically kicks him out of her life. Says, by the way, I'm pregnant.
That's right.
Yes. So then she's expecting him to take off. He decides, no, I'm going to hang out. Then she kicks him out anyways.
And then that's when he finds out when he's banging on the door and the roommate's like, oh, she's at her parents' house. And he's like, where that? And he's like, she's all Upper West Side. He's like, Upper West Side? You telling me Elizabeth Shue's rich?
Mm-hmm.
Immediately gets a boner right away. He's like, oh, boner.
Yep. Very, very visible boner on camera.
And he goes there. He has an altercation with the dad. Now, I want to know one thing about the dad scene and Tom Cruise. Why was the dad hating on him so bad?
Well, because he knocked up his daughter in Jamaica. And then,
but that happens.
Well, not at the Mooney house. All it I'm doesn't.
I just felt like it was like so like, the father must hate you. And it's like, they're going to have a baby. It's going to be a person like... Who would just be angry like that all the time? He tries to pay him off.
Yeah, $10,000.
$10,000. Yeah, and she's out being an artist. I mean, what's going on? What is going on? He doesn't take the money. It was $10,000.
Yeah, he makes a point to prove. I think we're jumping ahead a little bit, but he makes a point to prove to her that money. I don't care about money. He rips up the check.
He rips it. By the way, speaking of ripping up checks, I'm getting nervous. At the end of this drink.
We're both circling the egg yolk here.
So we're at the bottom of our red eye and. It's just a fucking raw egg at the bottom. And I don't know if I can do it.
Yeah, you can.
I don't know if I can do it, dude.
You're doing it.
I don't. Oh, God. He's doing it. He's drinking it. The egg's. No, he quit it. I don't know. I don't know, dude. I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can do it. Can I just say I did it for the podcast?
It's your house. I don't care what you do.
I feel like I'm going to throw up.
Oh, you got it. Just don't think about it.
Okay.
It's like college.
I didn't go to college. Did you go to college?
No, but I hear.
I was like, wait a minute. We're both uneducated.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, James, I went to college. That's why I'm in your house on a Thursday afternoon doing a podcast about cocktail.
I can't do it. I fucking can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I'll fucking throw up. I'm sorry. I can't drink an egg. I'm just going to drink the rest of this beer.
That's fair.
I love you, and I know that's pussy, and I know that everyone in there is like angry at me, but I can't Rocky that shit.
Hey,
I can't do it. I'm proud of you.
Listen, we're not all champions.
I'm so proud of you, but that is the scariest looking shit I've ever almost put in my mouth. I thought it was on like a Fear Factory or something.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Did you say Fear Factory?
Like what?
Like the band?
The Fear. That's how much fear put into me. The Fear Factory.
Oh, good golly.
All right. So back to the movie.
Let's see here. At some point, let's go back a minute. In Jamaica, Coughlin says something along the lines of, I'll bet you a bottle of Louis XIII, which is about $500, that you'll be working for me in a few months.
Oh, that's right.
Life falls apart for young Flanagan. He can't have his baby mama, blah, 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 blah. He goes and finds Coughlin, who is owning a giant bar.
Blowing up. He goes into places that he's off the hinges.
Oh, but wait. Coughlin's not happy.
I know.
No,
we don't know this till he goes back. Then he meets him on the boat, right?
They go on the boat because he shows up with his bottle of Louis.
He's like, here it is. I owe you the bottle. I'm going to come work for you. And like, oh, great. We'd love to have some talent behind the bar. That's the wife, the Pocahontas wife.
Right. And then we find out that Coughlin finally admits to the fact that he knows nothing more than just bartending. He doesn't know about money, anything like that. He's completely broke, but hasn't told his wife yet.
Right. He's like, does she know? Nope. It's a house of cards. But, you know, that brings up a good point. Because, like, just because you follow your passion and do what you want to do, you got to learn a little business.
You got to put it to work.
I had to learn it later, for sure. Like, in my business, I didn't do that. I feel like I was basically Coughlin. I was like, I don't know. I just fucking make videos.
I'm just really good at my job.
I don't know anything about taxes or, like, when they come and get you. Because they do. They come and get you.
Yep.
And payroll? Oh, we're just going to have a lot of employees. Okay, you got to pay for all that shit. Then you got to pay taxes on them.
Mm-hmm.
I have to pay taxes on paying myself.
Son of a bitch.
So my company, here's the weird thing. I pay myself, right?
Right.
I myself have to pay taxes on myself. Then as the company, I have to pay taxes on what I paid myself. So I pay double on myself every time I write myself a
check. You, sir, are a patriot. All right. The country owes you a gratitude of
debt. It's weird because I'm a corporation, believe it or not.
Oh,
but now I'm the only one working. I'm a one corporation.
That's right. Because if you get sued, you're protected, my friend.
That's why we got incorporated. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, we once had employees and multiple, we were big time back in the day. Now it's just me and a microphone talking to you people. That's what it is now, everybody.
Drinking raw eggs.
All right. So this is when he takes his picture and the line is, your ship has come in and
with a big ass Polaroid.
With a big old Polaroid. And then he leaves.
Oh, he passes out.
He passes
his
out.
His wife comes down. He passes out. His wife's like, can you take me home?
She's I don't like to go not home. Again. Right. Oh, this is when she hits on him, right?
Yeah, she brings him up to their penthouse apartment. She's a smoke show.
Pocahontas.
Yeah. Brings her upstairs. Brings him upstairs, I should say, and makes her move. And he kind of goes for it for a half a second. You can kind of see that he's going to get some revenge here. Then he decides, no, that's my buddy. I'm not going
to
do it.
Because he could have told him, like, showed up and said, you owe me $50.
Exactly. Then, so he takes off, and she's like, what are you doing? And then here's the pivotal moment. He says, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, and runs out.
He doesn't know.
No. Meanwhile, Elizabeth Shue, folks, somewhere in New York City. And again, Elizabeth Shue, if you are listening, just... Come by.
Won't do you wrong.
No, we'll treat you right.
God, whatever happened to Elizabeth Shue?
How dare you?
I mean, not saying what happened.
Okay.
I'm just saying, where is she? Where is she? Tone. Where is she?
She's probably being hot somewhere.
She probably looks exactly the
same. I bet you she does.
She's I don't know. I haven't looked her up.
Probably at Putt-Putt in a yellow at 37. That's a little Karate Kid for you.
Remember the Putt-Putt? I was like, wow, that was a reach. Next time, he's like, oh, water slides. We didn't bring our bathing. I always remember when he said, bathing suits.
They were reaching for that movie.
I know. And she was so far out of fucking Danielson's league.
Not to mention, she was 19. I don't even know why she was in school.
Yeah, she was like early 20s. She said, want to go to a bar? He's like, that's a little kid. I never, even as a kid, you know, when you don't understand who's out of the league, who's in their league.
Yeah, that was never going to happen.
I knew. I'm like, no, she's way too fucking hot for that fucking dork. She should be with Johnny. She should have
been. Yeah, that made sense.
Johnny wasn't even that bad of a guy. I'd say Danielson was antagonizing the whole time. Like, they let him go, and then he had to go when they're rolling their joints all dressed like fucking skeletons. He had to pour the fucking shit on them.
Yep.
Yeah. I'd kick his ass too.
Well, then he came. Yeah, the different movie for a different time.
I know, but I'm just saying that Danielson fucking deserved to get his ass kicked. And then fucking Mr. Miyagi should be arrested for beating up a bunch of minors.
Mr. Miyagi's got a checkered past, to say the least. Yeah. There's a lot going on there.
Yeah. I think there was a lot of editing going on. Yeah. You saw how fast he was.
Yeah.
Pretty slow.
Yeah.
I think those skeletons could have handled him.
They would have whooped his ass.
They could have handled him easy.
Yeah.
Why? And why is it when you're in a big fight with like seven people, you only fight one at a time?
Well, that's then they all just wait their turn.
Yeah. You got to swarm.
Yeah.
If you're listening and you're ever like surrounded, you're about to beat up Mr. Miyagi and you're in a skeleton car, just all go at the same time.
So our demographic today is Elizabeth Shue, hopefully.
Yes.
And a swarm of karate kids.
And a swarm of karate kids right. in skeleton masks. Don't wear a shower curtain to a dance. That's fucking stupid.
Yeah, come on.
That's dumb. Okay. Where were we?
So Flanagan leaves the wife.
Leaves the wife, drops her off.
Yeah, he leaves the house. He comes back to check on his buddy in the morning. His buddy has slit his wrist with the bottle of Louis, which is classy as shit.
Oh, it's almost like he killed him in a way.
In a way.
He's like, help! I need help!
Yeah, he kills himself, and then he gets home, and he finds a letter in the mail from young Coughlin, or young, old.
Old Coughlin.
And it's him Coughlin's basically telling him the last of the Coughlin with a Louis 13 model. Basically telling him, don't listen to me, I'm full of shit, you know what you're doing, move onward. Then he goes back for some sweet, sweet Elizabeth Shue, goes back to the house.
Yep. He's like,
professes his love to her, mm-hmm. punches another guy.
One of the henchmen.
Right. And at this point,
remove this boy.
Everybody he's punched in this movie has fallen into a sculpture. I took a tally.
How many people have gone into
a sculpture? He only punched two, but they both went into a sculpture. So that's two sculptures down, two punches thrown. Elizabeth Shue decides, I'm going to live with this bartender who knocked me up in Jamaica. Her dad says, if you leave, don't come back.
Yeah. What? The dad's got some issues, man. That's what I mean. He's like very like mad at him. Like, I don't know, he's mad, and then you're going to disown your own daughter?
That's old money.
And
that's
Grant?
That's old money talking right there.
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like it was a little too... I feel like that storyline wasn't played up enough. Like, I feel like Flanagan should have been like lading like, you know, piles of, you know, brown bags of shit on his doorstep for like years, and he finds out it's him, and he's like, oh, I hate that fucking guy. You know, something to kind
just
of drive the narrative.
Just coincidentally, as he comes home from the bar, he throws something at this just one particular apartment.
Every night for 6 years, and then he finds out it's Flanagan. Then I can understand. He's fair like, enough. No fucking shitbag lighter is going to be my fucking granddaughter's
dad. He makes a point to say, I would never give my daughter to a bartender, because at this point, a bartender is still very low on the totem pole. There is no...
He's defined by what he does.
Right.
You're like, well, he's going to business school. He's going to be... No.
Yeah.
My daughter will never date anyone who worked at Taco Bell.
Yes. Or TGI Fridays, apparently.
TGI Fridays.
Or has big aspirations to make a fucking sweet... Remember Sweet River?
Sweet River? What's
that? It was kind of like Applebee's, but it was in malls. So I guess I should say this guy was looking to make that.
Is that on the West Coast?
Yeah, we had one at Cottingtown, I don't know, a long time ago.
I didn't really grow up around here.
Okay. Either way, it was... exactly that bar from the beginning of the movie.
Oh, funny.
Yeah.
Sweetwater.
Yeah, I don't know. Sweetwater? No, hey, Sweetwater is a venue. I think Sweet River, that's what it was.
Have you ever eaten at Strings? Those little Italian-like little places?
No.
It's so booty. It's like not really Italian food.
Of course
not. It's just like
the Olive Garden?
It's like, no, but it's like on a way shittier level than Olive Garden.
Wow. There goes our Olive Garden sponsor.
I remember going there with Leslie, like my wife. We were staying in a hotel and there's Strings. I'm like, I know it's late. They're open. And like we ordered a bottle of wine. I feel like no one has ever ordered an actual bottle of wine there.
You were high rollers.
Everyone was like, whoa.
The manager came out.
Like, I look around, everyone's drinking like Sprite and orange soda. I'm like, who eats Italian food with 7-Up?
Hey.
People that eat at Strings.
Hey,
this episode is brought to you by Strings. Free colonoscopies with every 12 orders.
This episode was originally brought to you by Olive Garden, but we just got a call that they are pulling their sponsorship.
They just pulled it. No more breadsticks. So she leaves.
She leaves with him.
And what happens in the end? How does it end?
We fast forward again a few days. Because keep in mind, she's pregnant.
She's pregnant.
But at no point starts showing whatsoever.
Never. No. Because it's Elizabeth Shue. We don't want to.
Exactly. So then they end up getting married at his uncle's bar.
Classy.
Right. And then we fast forward again. And now here it is outside. It says Flanagan's Cocktails and Dreams. And
pink neon. He started his bar. Right.
His bar is packed.
Packed,
Elizabeth Shue is now looking to be about 3 months pregnant. So this all happened.
She's in the bar.
Very quickly. She's in a smoky bar, 3 months pregnant. And everybody starts chanting poem. So he stands up again to really just try and shove this poetry thing home and says a poem.
And then he finds out.
He's having twins. And that, my friends. Is Cocktail.
That is Cocktail. I hope you guys enjoyed our book report on Cocktail. We thought it'd be fun to just walk through a movie that maybe everyone's pretty much seen, but hasn't been analyzed by our brains. I don't know. That was fun, man.
Yes, I enjoyed
it. I didn't really... I you know, it was funny. I did all this from memory.
Yeah, I watched it.
I haven't seen the movie in years.
I remember the opening bar. I remember Coughlin killing himself.
I remember all that.
I remember the poems, but I forgot that whole part of everything in the middle.
Yeah, it was a weird movie. It was a good movie. It was a memorable one. I feel like... this was the movie that your best friend's older sister really liked. That's how I'll describe Cocktail.
This movie has the greatest soundtrack of any 80s movie.
It does have the hits. Yes. Did this movie at all inspire you?
Nah, to throw a bottle around? I'm not going to lie. Sure it did.
And absolutely. On a scale of 1 to 10, how is it in reality? Because I know when I watch movies about my profession or filmmaking or music, I'm like, oh, that's not fucking how it is. How is it on a 1 to 10?
I can tell you from 100% guaranteed... truth. And anybody who bartends will back me up on this. This is 100% 10. Okay. This is a reality show.
Whoa!
About bartending.
Whoa.
Everything in this movie has happened to everybody who's ever bartended.
Holy shit.
Yep. I impregnated Elizabeth Shue.
Oh my God. Everyone's pregnant Elizabeth Shue. All right. Hey everybody. Thanks for listening. Casey, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Filling Adam's shoes while he's out.
Yes.
Galloping around, taking the old model photos.
Yes. Look out for Adam in Ireland if you're there.
And Adam will be back. Thanks, everybody. Have a good one. Adam, hands down the best Louisiana food in Sonoma County is the Parish Cafe, now with a second location in Santa Rosa. If you know good food in Sonoma County, you know about the Parish Cafe. Traditional New Orleans-style cuisine using only what, Adam? Local California ingredients. Check out the Parish Cafe for restaurant locations and their kick-ass menu. Mm-mm, bitch!